Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. You are listening to Kathleen McCarthy, and it's my pleasure and my privilege to be with each of you today. Here we are, walking the Lenten journey, and we're all in this together. And what a beautiful time to come together, to look deep within our own hearts, our minds, our spirits, and to see how we can indeed conquer our pride and overcome the sinfulness in our lives. You know, we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God, each and every one of us. And for you and for I, there's no one. I mean, there was only one perfect person, they crucified him. And of course, that's Jesus the Lord. But we're all, every one of us, fall short of the glory of God. And today, on this, you know, this Lenten journey that we're all on, it's a time for us to grow. It's a time for us to really come to know ourselves in a deeper way. Each of us are called by name. Every single one of us are called into a deeper relationship with Jesus. And what a powerful time Mother Church just sort of wakes us up to take a good look in ourselves. And the readings, you know, as we journey through the Lenten season, we see today, you know, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. Each one of us, every one of us, have to forgive day in and day out. And sometimes there's wounds of the heart that aren't seen from the outside, and only God can see them because He alone reads our hearts. And so today, I really feel that apparently my mic was low. Apparently, for each one of us, this is indeed a time to come together, a time to allow God to heal our hearts. Now, here He is healing our hearts, the heart that was pierced for you and I, the heart that was pierced with a sword. So by the shedding of His blood, you and I would be saved. What a great mercy. What a great gift that is. And so I say Mother Church is sort of wakes us up, as a good mother wakes her kids up in the morning, get them ready for school or get them ready for whatever is going to come about that day. That's what Mother Church does. It's a good mother. And she wakes us up. And periodically, like this journey, this this time in the calendar, liturgical calendar, this time of Lent, is a time indeed to give ourselves up. I like that. Let's just give ourselves up to the Lord. Ask Him to be Lord over our lives, Lord over our decisions, Lord over our words and our actions. I mean, we've been given the fire of God's love. We've been given that, the fire of the Spirit in our hearts. And that fire is what totally burns away everything in us that would stifle the Spirit of God at work in us. But then He calls us to do something about it, not just to be hearer of the words, as we heard in the Gospels last week, but to be a doer of the word. And that's you and I. We're called to be doers of the word, not just hearers. And so today, and maybe every day, maybe you and I, as we listen to the gospel each day or read it each day, maybe we can take that gospel message, particularly the theme of it, like forgiveness today, and maybe we can see how we can assimilate that into our own lives. God's word is eternal. He does just, you know, it's living, it's effective. He's the living word. He's the living word. And because His word is living, we're called to be people of the word. We're called to carry His word out into a world that is in desperate need of good news. We hear all the bad news. We hear all the bad news we want to hear, more than we want to hear. We pick up the newspapers. We listen to different radio. We listen to television. We watch the television. We look at the prints, at the magazines. And it's so full of bad news. Don't you want to hear some good news? This Catholic Radio Apostolate is about the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. And don't we all like to receive gifts? As a matter of fact, a few minutes ago, I was talking to John Letterio, one of my engineers, before we went on the air. My friend Dennis Nolan, who's my right hand, and he asked me a question about the Spirit. How do you stir up the Spirit of God within you? You know, what does that mean to stir up? And so I was saying to both them, but in particular, I said to John, "Hey, John, don't you like to get Christmas presents?" "Oh, yeah," he said. He raised his eyes. "Oh, yeah." We all, no matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, we love to get gifts. We love to get gifts. Well, the gift giver, Jesus Christ, can't be outdone in generosity. And what He gives to us, what He gives us is the gift of the Spirit. As soon as we're baptized, we become children, first off, of the living God. I had a little granddaughter that was just baptized Sunday, little Bria. And I couldn't help but thinking how perfect that she was baptized, you know, during this Lenten season. Because, you know, when John the Baptist baptized people, he baptized them, you know, water baptism. And what happened? You know, we were all told that through that water baptism, it drew us into repentance, right? Well, really, Jesus Christ Himself baptizes us with fire and water through baptism. And not only are we cleansed, but this not only was this little child, this beautiful little granddaughter of mine, not only was she baptized, yes, Sunday, but it went beyond that. She was cleansed from original sin. She was filled with the water of baptism, new life. And she was given the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, it was her godfather, my son Christopher, and my daughter-in-law Emily. They were the ones that spoke up for her and made all those denouncements. You denounce Satan and you want to follow Jesus. So they said that for Bria. But one day, Bria's going to have to make those decisions on her own. One day, Bria is going to have to come to the decision to follow Jesus because she knows the truth. She knows the way. And that's the importance of us as Christian parents raising a child in the way they should go. In their old age, they won't depart from it. Oh, they might go off the beaten track. But in their old age, they won't depart from it. And so I was looking at the beautiful gift of Bria being baptized Sunday and how it correlated to Lent, how we're being, you know, through the Lenten time, we're sprinkled with that same holy water to remind each of us of our own baptismal vows. And here we are, again, being renewed through this Lenten season. We're renewed, you know, we go before the Lord and He begins to heal us and give us that new life. Well, it comes from opening the gifts that God gives us. That's how it happens for each one of us. We were given a great gift. And as Catholics, we often fail to recognize, and Christians in general forget to recognize, the great gift of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives. And He lies dormant within us because we don't fan that flame. We don't fan the flame of the Spirit, so that the Spirit of God can well up within us, dispelling our anxieties, our fears, our doubts. And He gives us that new life. And how blessed each of us are that we have been baptized into Christ, that we too have become children of the Most High God. And that you and I are indeed His highly favored sons, His highly favored daughters, because we've been baptized into Him, baptized into Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, just like little Bria. And so, have we really understood what we've really been given? The gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Spirit. I remember I was extending my hand and my children were extending their hands as the priest was pouring the holy water over Bria's head and blessing her and anointing her with the Spirit of God. And we were, I personally was in awe, thinking, look here, so many of us are like Bria. We don't have any idea of the tremendous gift that we have received through the Holy Spirit. Like Bria, somebody held us in our arms, in their arms. Somebody said the vow, baptismal vows for us. And at one point in our lives, we made a decision to follow Jesus. We fell in love with Jesus. We want to be the people that He's called us to be. But we don't realize the magnificent gift He's left us. In the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit constantly cleansing us from the inside out, purifying us with fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit. And so a fire goes out if we don't fan it. We have to fan that flame. I remember sharing, telling people on one of my retreats a couple times that. And I think I even mentioned it on the air with Father Chifo. When I was a little kid, I had to come home at lunchtime. And at that time, you walk back and forth from school. And I had to come home, and at lunchtime, before I went up to eat lunch, I used to run in, run down the basement, and stir, the coals. We had a coal-burning heat at that time. I'm really dating myself, but I had to go stoke it so the fire wouldn't go out. And I did it all the time, then I'm upstairs and eat. And then, of course, throughout the day, when we came home from school, my brother Vince would go down. It was his turn. And my mother, you know, kept an eye on it all day. My dad would pop in and out of the house from work, and he would also take care of it at the end of the day. And but one day I got talking on the way home. And I wasn't paying any attention to the time. And I was like, oh, man, I got a quick get home. And I ran all the way home. And by the time I got home, the fire had gone out. There was like ashes. I couldn't get that started again. There was just embers in there, little embers. And I couldn't get it started. And my dad happened to walk in, and I maybe now looking back, when I think he always checked, he was afraid that one of us kids would forget it. And so I remember him walking in, and he said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "I wasn't paying attention, didn't realize what time it was, and I didn't get here in time to continue to stoke the fire." And he looked at me, and he sort of tousled my hair, and he said, "Kathleen, when a fire goes out, and it's just a little tiny ember there, it's really difficult to start a fire once it goes out." He said, "So you have to keep tending to it. You have to keep opening the draft, that little draft on the this big stove. You open the draft and you stoke it so that the fire would well up." Well, he got it started again. A little difficult even for him, but he got it started. And I want to liken that to us, because how many times do we know the Spirit's in us, but how many times do we stoke the fire so that flame of His fire, of His love, you know, comes up and wells up out of us and ignites a fire in the heart of everyone we meet? How often do we stoke our fire? How often do we take that time for prayer first and foremost? If you start every day with prayer, and maybe we fell away from that, you know, maybe we used to, we don't anymore. That's part of stoking it. That's part of fanning the flame, getting back into fanning that flame, keeping that fire going, start going to the Lord. And if the only prayer you have is, "Lord Jesus, please fill me with the fire of Your love. Fill me with Your Spirit." Well, then that's a powerful prayer. That's stoking the fire, stepping out and remembering who you are in Christ, that you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you are a child of God. You are a child of the Most High God. You have the most beautiful mother in the world that watches over you and prays for you. And you have, you know, a father that never takes his eyes off you, just like we know the story of the prodigal son. They said he was looking far out for the son. So when the son came into sight, he obviously had been looking for him. And that's how it is with each one of us. We have a father who never takes his eyes off us. Never. He is an awesome, loving father, full of mercy and compassion. He has all wisdom. He is our all in all. And He never takes His eyes off of us, never. And so, how often do we think of Him? How often do we think of the great gift of the Spirit that He's given us? And what steps do we take? What kind of steps do we take to fan that flame? Do we pray and ask God to enter into us in a deeper way, that we can enter into Him in a deeper way? Do we ask Him to help us to be His hands and His feet and His voice? Or do we never even think about it? Do you know the possibilities that's available when we open our heart, our minds, our spirit, our will to the living God? Do you know what's available? The power of the Spirit at work in our lives can do more, the Scripture said, than we could ever possibly imagine. That's awesome. And all it takes, it's already there. God's dwelling within us through the gift of baptism, through the power of His Spirit. We need to fan the flame. We need to stoke it so that the fire within us doesn't go down. And we do that by reception, you know, frequent reception of confession. You know, the sacrament of penance, frequent use of the sacraments, so that when we receive Holy Eucharist, and if you're able to and make a special sacrifice, maybe some people are able to the way they work and with their home life, maybe they can get to daily Mass once or twice a week where they never do during the week. It's a great sacrifice. God will bless it abundantly. Take my word for it. God will bless that act of love abundantly. That's how you stir into flame the gift of the Spirit within us. God is his fire just wells up within us, and it floods out of us. It's a fire. It not only burns the things that are in us that would stifle the Spirit of God at work, but aside from that, it actually warms the hearts of all those that come into our contact. The fire is burning brightly, and it warms the hearts of others. And so, let's realize the great gift, particularly at this Lenten time. Let's recognize the tremendous gift we have of God's love, the tremendous gift of His Spirit that lives within us. Let's open some of those gifts up. Let's ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, help me to use the gifts you've given me to build up the kingdom of God where I live, in my family, in my neighborhood, in my church, where I live and walk and move. Help me, Lord, to use all those gifts of the Spirit and to begin to recognize them by prayer. By prayer. All of us, every one of us, compared to the agelessness of God, we're newborn babes. And sometimes we think we've arrived at a certain point in our lives. I'm 68 years old, and I can tell you, I have so, so far to go. I depend daily on God's infinite mercy and grace and forgiveness and love to continue to form me into the person He created me to be. And with all my weaknesses and with all my faults, I know that He's constantly molding me, transforming me from day to day to be more of what He calls me to be, so that I can grow more perfectly into His likeness and His image. Because of myself, I could never help anybody. I could never give anybody anything that's really going to help them in life, except the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I can give. That's what you can give. And my brother, my sister, you have unique gifts. The gifts that God gave you at baptism are unique to you, to your personality, to your looks, to the wisdom and the knowledge that you have. Just to you, these gifts are unique for you to use. And this is a perfect time during Lent to begin to ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to recognize within myself? How can I fan that flame of the fire of the Spirit in me? How can I be a sower of your word? And then the Lord will begin to form you and transform you by the renewal of your mind, and begin to enlighten your mind and your understanding to the truth that, wow, I have gifts. I have gifts I never knew I had. And then those gifts become more formed, more perfectly formed and developed, because we're starting to use them. It's like muscles. A baby's born, they're like a sack of potatoes. You know that. You pick them up. If you don't put your hand behind their head, they're going to snap their neck. They're limp. They just, their muscles aren't attuned yet to life. And you and I, it's very much the same way. We're babies in the Spirit. And until we start to exercise the spiritual muscles, until we start to step out in faith and use the little gifts we do recognize we have, then we'll never grow into all the other gifts that we have if we don't open them up and start using them. And just as our physical bodies grow strong through working out, through building muscle and building strength, so too it is with the spiritual life. Unless we begin to use those spiritual muscles, we're going to be limp. We're going to be flabby, limp people in the battlefield. Shouldn't we be? Don't you think that God wants us to be people that are filled with grace and strength and wisdom and knowledge and understanding, fear of the Lord, piety. Don't you think he wants us to be filled with those kind of gifts so that we can show others that God is alive and living and moving in us and through us, and that he wants to touch their lives? He wants to ignite a fire in their hearts. You've been given such a gift. You've been given so many gifts. And it's about time that you use those gifts to build up the kingdom. Pardon me, no better time than Lenten time to begin to go to the Lord. How can I die to myself? What I want, what I want to do. And how can I be, pardon me, a warrior for you, Lord? And he'll show you. And he'll begin to fill you with that grace. Pardon me. Just send for some water. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about this gospel. Feel free to call in. Matter of fact, wouldn't be a bad idea with my voice. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or you can call toll free. Kathleen McCarthy. Sorry about that coughing spell. I just want to make an announcement. Our Lady Missionaries of the Eucharist have their Lenten Spring programs and the Lenten Days of Prayer and Renewal. And I just want to announce them again. The next one will be Tuesday. Of course, it'll be Tuesday tonight, February 28th, and it'll be Father Thomas Daly. And the following week, each week I'll give you a new one. The following week is Father Kevin Bobbin, and that will be March 6th. These are all on Tuesdays, the 6th, the 13th, the 20th, and March 27th, and then it goes into April. And again, Our Lady's Missionaries of the Eucharist, 640 East Main Street. That's in Birdsboro, PA. I'm going to give you the website in case you would like to register to take this Lenten series. And again, it's Lent Days of Prayer and Renewal. Our Ladies of the Missionaries of the Eucharist. It's olme@olme.org. So it's olme@olme.org. Or you can call 610-582-3333. Again, you can call 610-582-3333. And you can always call here. I have it on my desk, so you can always get information about it. Going to talk a little bit about the gospel today, about forgiveness, about how each of us are called to, particularly, as I said, through Lent, to listen to the gospel. And as we listen to the gospel, also see how it can apply in our lives throughout the journey of Lent. And of course, I want to read the today's gospel, because I think it gives us a powerful lesson. This is from Matthew. "And in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Listen very closely to this part. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now here's the verse that we all forget. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And we say that, we know the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. We say it all the time at Mass. We say it in our prayers. It's one of the first prayers we teach our children. But do we remember that verse? And of course, it's Matthew that has it in it. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, their debtors, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Ouch. Do we really want to forgive as we forgive others? That's a question I think God is asking us today. How do we really forgive others? Because we're asking them to forgive us the same way. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do we really want to be forgiven as we forgive those who trespass against us? Do we really forgive those who have hurt us, wounded our hearts, maybe wounded us physically, emotionally, spiritually? Do we really want to forgive those people that have wounded our hearts, maybe crushed our spirits, abused our sensibilities, our minds, our hearts, our bodies? But Jesus says in the Our Father, but if you do not forgive them, neither will your Father forgive you. And I always say that, people get upset with that, but the truth of the matter is, it's very freeing for us to forgive. Because when we're finally able to forgive, when we really can forgive, that means we break the power that others have over us. We break the power that they have over us. We don't stay mad and angry and resentful and hurt and wounded and cowering and all into ourselves, afraid to do this and think nobody loves us and don't want to reach out to anybody, and we get caught up in, we get stuck, we get fixated on those areas in our lives that we've been wounded, we've been hurt. And so by staying that way, we are incapacitated, if you will. We're not going on all cylinders. We might be moving ahead, but we're not, all cylinders aren't firing, because we got that darkness inside of us that usually is eating us away. It tears at us inside. It destroys our hearts. But when we're able to forgive, it's freedom. It's breaking the power that those people have over us. And forgiving them empowers us. That's why the Lord says that. If you do not forgive them and their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Because what we hold those people bound. And so no healing takes place. But if we can forgive, all we can do is take care of ourselves, trust them into God's hands. But instead of the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and, a life for a life, God's all merciful and all forgiving, all compassionate and all loving. And he knows each one of our hearts. He alone can judge us because he's right and just. And because of that, because we know that he knows our hearts, he knows how we've suffered, he knows how we've been alienated and rejected, he knows how we've been talked about, gossiped about, he knows how we've been physically abused, He knows how we've been emotionally and mentally abused. He knows it all. And it isn't that he wants us to, in any way, shape, or form, feel like, oh, I guess my wounds don't mean anything to God. Oh, I guess my hurts, my wounds, my scars, my brokenness doesn't mean anything to God. Just the opposite, my brothers and sisters. He wants to give you his healing love so that you can live life and live it to the full. Is there someone in your life today, in your life, that you need to forgive? Is there somebody that has wounded you, hurt you in some way, and you've never quite been able to let go? Maybe it was years ago. Maybe you've been to confession about it, and you've said, I still have this wound. I can't forgive this person. When you can't get over it, you just can't let go of it. And you think you have. But sure enough, you'll start telling somebody about it down the road. Oh, you know what? This person did this, and this person did that. And you never really have let it go. Because it's always in the back of your mind, always lying there in your heart. And so Jesus, being the divine physician that he is, he wants to get rid of that it's like a disease in our hearts. He wants to get rid of that, the divine physician. And you know, just like anything else, surgery hurts. And sometimes God has to cut away and cauterize. Cut away so that healing will take place. And initially, it's an act of the will, a tremendous act of the will, to say, I forgive you. I forgive you. And maybe it's against someone who's long dead. Maybe they've been, passed away a long time ago. Maybe it's a father or a mother or a sister or brother or, you know, a mate, a priest, a nun. Whatever. It's never, ever, ever too late. Never too late to say, I forgive you. Because God is eternal. It's always now before God. Always now. There's no, 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 15 minutes ago. It's always now. That's the beauty of God with forgiveness. Nothing is done so long ago that you can't be completely healed from it now. His word is living. It's effective. And he says that he sends his word out and it never, ever returns void. But it does the work it was sent to do. It brings healing into us. Into our hearts and into those areas that we've been so wounded in. We've hurt so long. We've been hurting so long. We've cried so many tears that we've become comfortable, stuck where we're at. But the Lord is ever now. And he wants you to experience freedom now. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. God's word is effective. It's true. He has enough power to penetrate through all the years ago that something happened. His heart, his word will penetrate our hearts, our emotions, our spirits, our will. And that power will well up within us and it will dispel those things that hold us bound, those wounds of the heart that nobody else can see. Many times people are laughing on the outside, but they're crying on the inside. That's why we can't judge a brother or a sister, because we don't know. We really don't know why they are the way they are. We don't understand, because only God reads hearts. He gives us wisdom and knowledge to use our heads and think and make decisions, but he doesn't want us to judge people. So my brothers and sisters, who is it? Is it somebody today that you need to forgive? Is it somebody in my own life that I need to forgive? Taking this to heart. I'm searching my heart and asking, is there someone? I don't think there is, but if there is, I know God will reveal it. I've done a lot of forgiving my brothers and sisters over these 68 years, just like you've had to. But the beauty and the power of forgiveness, the healing of forgiveness, goes beyond anything that we can imagine. And, you know, God's always asking us, do we want to be healed? Isn't that what he said to the one man at the Bethesda pool? When everybody was running into the first stirring of the water to be healed, didn't he single out one man? Could have gone to anybody, but he singled out a person. And when he singled him out, he asked him a question. And he said, why aren't you in the water? And what does the guy say? Nobody around to put me in. By the time I would get down there, everybody else would beat me in. That first stirring of the water was in those times was called the healing waters. God wants to stir up the healing water of grace, the healing living waters that dwell within you. He wants to stir that up. And he's asking all of us today, do you really want to be healed? And he's not asking us to make excuses. Well, I would be healed if it wasn't for this one or that one. Or I'd be healed if somebody else would be praying for me. Or I'd be healed if somebody did this or somebody did that. Or somebody else came to me and asked me for forgiveness. I would be healed. Isn't that what we do? Well, she's never came to me once and asked me to forgive her. How about us going to them and asking them to forgive us? That's freeing. That's healing. That's breaking the power people hold over us and hold us bound. So we can experience that beautiful gift of the living waters flowing through us. New life. No more feeling bad. No more brokenness. No more emptiness. Well, we're back on. You're listening to Kevin.